Good morning. It is so good to see you here. As Dale mentioned, this has been an awesome day just worshiping here together. We have a 9 o'clock service. For those of you who don't really know what time it is because you didn't really change your clock, you just woke up and your phone just said, here's what time it is, then welcome to whatever time this is service. We are so glad that you're here. The video that you just watched talked about this, the idea of the series that we started last week. The title of the series is Rooted. And as we're in this series, last week we talked about what does it mean to really be rooted in Christ? Because there are certain statements that we make in church sometimes and we get very comfortable with them because they sound right. But the Bible specifically talks about living in Christ and being rooted in Him. And last week we really saw from Scripture that being rooted in Christ means that we do reach down with the roots of our life. Roots are there to take in resources. And as we take in resources, we reach into Christ first. And we do, just like roots do, they collect what they need at the moment. So we get what we need at the moment. But as we really dig deeper and as we study more and as we reach in more, then just like roots that grow longer and deeper, we get better anchored. We're more anchored for the storms and the winds of life that beat against us, that we don't fall so quickly. We're able to stay upright. And we talked about how there's this rooted quality to us that does that, plus takes in resources for things that we don't even know are coming yet. But then there's also this follow-up step that says that we can be built up, that as we grow in Christ, just like a tree grows both tall and wider, if it just grows tall, if we just grow in our alone time with God, then we're not reaching out enough. If we only reach out, then we don't find the depths and the heights that we can go with Christ. That just like that ring, when if you cut that tree, you would see these really dark rings during hard weather seasons of life where we go through difficult times as Christians, but God brings us through those and He teaches us stuff in them. And there's these distinctive moments of growth that we find and that are so visible to the people that know us and love us. And there's just this great seasons, these seasons and seasons of growth that we can have, that we're meant to grow deep in our relationship. We're supposed to be rooted in Jesus, but we're also supposed to be growing and able to withstand more in life and able to share more with others in life. Today, we're going to talk about being rooted into something that's really inseparable from being rooted in Christ. We're talking about being rooted in the Word of God. See, you can't separate Jesus and the Word because Jesus is the Word. In creation, when God speaks, that's the work of the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, creating stuff, just random, just Jesus on the loose, if you will. And even in the first chapter of John that we read, it says that the Word was made flesh, that God literally put the Word of God on earth into a human body. I don't know about you, and I don't know what gets you to do things, but in the passage that we're going to look at, and we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to Timothy. He sees Timothy as kind of a spiritual younger brother. He's giving him an advice. And as he's writing to Timothy, he said, you know what, Timothy? He said, there's two great ways that you can't neglect that you really need to pay attention to grow in your life. One way, he's talking to him about community. We're going to push the pause button on community today. We're going to come back to that in a couple of weeks. But he talks to him about community, being connected with other believers. You can watch certain believers and grow from watching their life. But then he says that God's Word is so very vital. And he breaks God's Word's importance down into three areas, one of which gets a ton of attention, and I've given it a lot of attention in my life, but the other two are what we're going to look at a little bit more this morning because it really speaks more to me in my heart, and I hope hopefully it will in your heart, of why invest in God's Word and why be rooted in it in a great way, okay? So we're going to dig into 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse 14. This begins that second reason of how to grow, which is God's Word. It says this, but as for you, this is Paul talking to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, as Paul introduces this idea to Timothy, he's bringing some things to mind so that Timothy begins to see this in the right light. Timothy grew up in what we would call a good Christian home. He grew up with very strong-willed, God-worshiping women, especially in his life, that just would sing psalms, I'm sure, to him. Not songs, but actual psalms. And they would have just quoted scripture. They would have talked about what we call the Old Testament, but to them was just the Word of God. They raised him in a culture of hearing and knowing God's Word. Paul brings up that upbringing had one great result, which was he knew enough about what we call the Old Testament, the prophecy that's in there, all the things that foreshadowed the coming of Jesus. He knew about those to such an extent that when he heard the gospel, when he heard about Jesus and he saw the evidence of Jesus' death and resurrection, he knew enough to be able to hear that and go, that is the Savior of the world. That's the Jesus that I have been looking for. That's who God's story has been about, sending so that I could be redeemed. And Paul says, you're saved. And a lot of that came from, that understanding came from the investment that people have poured into your life and God's Word. In fact, as an upbringing, he would have not known, as in just read and understood. He would have memorized the first five books of the Bible. Anybody got that down? You just want to start reciting now? No. He would have known it, memorized it, been able to recall any of it at a given time. That was actually the norm for them, to just know God's law and to know His Word. Well, Paul transitions from the scripture that he's known and heard to the investment over life and devotion to God's Word. And why do that? We're going to look at that a little bit more in verse 16. It says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Now, there's been many times in my life that I have been given plenty of reasons of why to not do what I did, or plenty of reasons to do what I was about to do. Now, a lot of that comes down to sometimes who it is that's given us instruction. In the 9 o'clock service, I used this example. Last week, I talked about my amazing scar and adventure that I had when we were talking about being rooted from my daycare days when I was younger. Another thing that used to go on there, they had this amazing room where it was just full of all stand-up arcade games. And none of us had video games. No, there were no video game systems that were really around your house. So you got to go to daycare. Your parents paid for you to have an opportunity to go play unlimited video games when it was raining, because we didn't get to go in there when it was nice outside. The thing was, when a storm would come up and it would lighten, and they knew that they didn't want to take a chance of lightning running in on those games, so they would tell us, go around and unplug them. Then they would tell us, after the storm stopped, hey, you can go plug in the games, you can play those, but listen, you got to be careful. You can't see the plugs really good. Once it makes contact, you don't want to get shocked. You're going to get hurt. The games will wait. They'll be there once they power up. Don't rush it. Just be careful. I had all the logical evidence and advice that I could have, but me being a boy, I said, I've got to play right now. So what I would do is I wouldn't even look for the outlet. I would just stick my arm back there with the plug in my hand, and I would feel for the prongs on the plug, and then I would feel for the holes in the outlet. And then, on the count of three, I just push. It was about three times that I didn't get my fingers completely out of the way when I pushed, and what I got was just nice, just hum through my body that just kind of kept going and going until somebody finally just kicks you and just knocks you off of it. I think, still to this day, it's part of my problem. But I had all the evidence. I had all the reasons to just listen. It just made sense. But what motivates us to listen? Did punishment work for you growing up? Right, like I grew up in a household where it was my mom raising me and my sister. So the words, I'll spank you, was like, it's a nice thought. But I mean, I don't think it's going to hurt that bad, right? What do you get taken away? You know, it's what do you do? What motivates, does a raise motivate you? I mean, what motivates you to do or to listen or to follow instructions or whatever it is? Paul gives us a really simple and what seems like perfect explanation of why get rooted in God's Word. I mean, he says it. He says it's profitable. It's good for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. So think about it. Paul was right. I mean, isn't he? God's Word is a great teacher. When we need to learn a lesson, it's there and it has the right lessons. When we need to be corrected, when we're wrong, it can correct us in a perfect way. It can even rebuke us. It can get on to us when we're really wrong. It can train us. It can work our spiritual bodies and minds out and hearts out to the point where we're healthier. Okay, but here's the thing. I've never run to a gym, ever. Like if I was in a gym and it was on fire, I would gladly run out. But I don't run to a gym. I walk briskly to Bojangles, but I don't run to a gym. When I'm wrong, if I know that I'm wrong, I don't go to people that want to tell me I'm wrong. I want to be away from those people. And if you're anything like me, I think one of the holdups has been, yes, we understand all that the Bible is good for, but why do we really want to go and get corrected? Like, why do we want to be rebuked? That doesn't even sound fun. Even if you don't know what rebuking means, it doesn't sound enjoyable. Why do we want to be rebuked? And when we're tired, when we're worn out, do we really want to learn a lesson? That just sounds exhausting. See, one of the greatest things about God inspiring His Word, and this is something that's actually on this insert card we've got here for this week, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a little bit. But one of the things on that card talks about how does God take steps towards us with His Word. The first thing that God does is He reveals. There's a revelation. He shows truth about Himself to a human. Then inspiration, He inspires that human to take that truth and communicate it. Then He illuminates it. In other words, when it gets down to your level and my level, God is taking a flashlight into His Word and going, see, boom, right there. That's what you need to see. Oh, this is what's going on. He moves the flashlight. This is what you need to see. When God illuminates His truth, it means so much more to us. This morning, I want to look at an illumination here, not on that rebuking and correcting and teaching part, but I want there to be an illumination there on that first part, because one of the great things about the Greek language, when God inspired Paul to write this and he knew that he would be writing in Greek, as a habit, if there were multiple things that they were going to list out, they would, as a habit and as a tradition, write them in order of importance. So what is it that's so important that it comes before, hey, God's Word is good for teaching and rebuking? What is so important that it comes before that? It's very simple. And we read it almost like we're skipping over it. All Scripture is inspired by God. Inspired here, in many translations, it says, God breathed. You ever stood next to a heavy breather? You ever been in close communication with a heavy breather? There's a few schools that I've always tried to stay plugged in at, and there was one coach that used to work at one of those high schools, and for some reason, as a heavy breather, and as somebody that just needed evidently to be very close to you when he talked, he would come so close to you that you could feel him, right? And when he talked, it's like you could feel the warmth just hitting you over and over again. Brandon, stop smiling at me because you know what I'm talking about. And you just felt it. And there were times where I was just like listening, leaning back, like ab workout, just going, this guy don't back off right now. I feel myself inside screaming. That feeling of that breath, there's no way you experience that unless somebody has just come so, so close to you. When we hear that God's Word is inspired, God breathed, the intention is when we read it, that it's this closeness between us and God that we feel just His breath, just the warmth of His Word and the truth come out of this. I mean, almost as we open it just to see, just to feel and experience God exhaling on us when we read the truth that's in His Word. Because we have to be close to really get the meaning of it and to see what He's illuminating to us. There's this awesome thing throughout Scripture when God breathes. When God breathes, there is always invigorating and often new life that comes into the moment. Think about it with me. In Genesis chapter 2, God has taken clay and dirt and mud and nastiness and made a man. And He formed him. And the Bible says He had a physical life. Like physically, everything was there for him to just get going. But to become alive, it says that God just leaned down and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. What he did was he put a spiritual soul into him, and that is what gave him life. All the physical stuff was already there. It was God's breath that just breathed life into him. The prophet Ezekiel, he was looking out at one point over this valley, and there'd been a lot of battle, and it was just literally bones, human bones, just laid out. And he asked God, he said, God, if you would just do something great. He said, if you would breathe new life into these bones and do something mighty so we can know that it's you, we can see you working. And God did it. He answered the prayer and he breathed life into death, into dead bones. He breathed life and all of a sudden they started coming alive and forming together and muscles and flesh and everything started going on so people would know that this was God, that Ezekiel would know that he was following this all-powerful, almighty God. John chapter 1, Jesus shows up on earth. How does he show up? Jesus is the Word. In fact, the chapter starts off that the Word was with God. The Word was God. The Son of God, Jesus, is the Word. But it says that the Word became flesh. There was this movement down as God breathed into humanity his own Son. And in his life, we find new life because of his death and resurrection. After Jesus is resurrected, he's with his disciples. He's still on earth, so the Holy Spirit couldn't stay and dwell permanently in believers because Jesus had to leave before that happened. But as he was there to give them kind of a foretaste of what was going to go on, Jesus leaned over and breathed, God's word says in John chapter 20, verse 22, he breathed in his disciples the Holy Spirit. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Then you roll over into Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit really shows up in a big way, and it describes the Holy Spirit coming onto this world as a mighty rushing wind, which is just an extension of God's powerful breath just breathed into this earth. See, every time we see God's breath, we see just this incredible new life, this energy, this greater life that all of a sudden is there and present and is available. Well, guess what? That's the statement that is made about this entire Bible, this entire Word of God. I get it. Like we buy these. I bought this at Lifeway. You buy yours online. We download an app onto our phone, and we almost reduce it down to just something we can go to and read, and we forget that the absolute truth that is in here is the breath of God breathed into us, meaning that there is this quality of life, if I take it in, that should be new and different about me. That's far more motivating than I need to be corrected or I need to be taught a lesson. This is going to be on the screen. This whole idea of God breathed, inspired, this is what should serve as the primary motivation for us as Christians to study God's Word. Because the perfect explanation that follows it should be enough, but it's just not enough times. But what motivates us towards obedience? Jesus said it this way, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. We know that we should keep his commandments. I do love Christ, but how do then I reconcile the fact that many times I don't keep his commandments? I do keep his commandments when I'm consumed with the relationship that I have with him. One of the statements that Stephen gave me a couple things to listen to recently, and it's on this idea of covenant. If you've never heard of covenant, it's the promises that God makes. And in covenant, you were bound into it. You were totally consumed by it. The thought never entered your brain, oh, well, I'll break the covenant. I'll break my promise. I'll disobey. But there is this thing about covenant where there's never this idea that you would break the promise. And in God's Word, there's as we follow him in relationship, close relationship with Jesus, if we're consumed with that relationship, there won't be a time where we go, you know what, maybe I should just disobey. We'll just dive in deeper. We'll root ourselves more. We'll anchor ourselves more to it. All right, does somebody else hear that? All right, so I'm not crazy, right? Okay, just checking. So here it is. It is the very act, this God breathing, this inspiration, it is that very act that confirms the authority, the inspiration, the infallibility, and the inerrancy of God's Word. See, because many times that is what it comes down to when we view God's Word. How authoritative is it? Does it have a right to say so in my life? Is it infallible? Is it inerrant? Is it without fault? Can it let me down if I dive all into it? some people say, you know what, well, how do you reconcile? There's figures of speech in the Bible. Those don't sound inspired. There's certain times in Scripture where there's an estimation of days made. God created everything. He even created language. I think he's got the right to use within his inspired word some estimation, some figures of speech. He gave us those tools so he can use those tools as he communicates to us as well. But ultimately, in his word, how do we see it? Authoritatively? Do we see it as accurate enough to go to depend on? Do we see it in a way that can sustain us? Verse 17, it says this, so that the man of God, now when it says the man of God, remember, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's writing to someone specific. So it says the man of God. Some translations say the servant of God. That takes in a broader scope of all of us. This scripture was written to Timothy, but we can interpret this directly to us. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now there's three words in that verse that we want to spend some time to make sure that we understand. They're very simple words, and in most instances, we would assume that we'd understand them completely just on a first read. But let's just make sure, okay? The first word that we want to look at is complete. This word means perfectly put together, perfectly fitted together. The thing about God's word is, a lot of times we say, okay, his word is perfect. It's all fit together. Yes, that's true. But that's not what Paul's writing. He says the outcome of being rooted in God's word is that you or I or Timothy can be complete. We can be perfectly put together. That doesn't sound like my life most days. I wouldn't describe my life in many ways as perfectly put together. I wouldn't describe it as just this amazing end result product. There's many projects around my house that are much more characterized by the statement work in progress than there are finished product. My father and I have a statement that we make at a certain point in everything that we've ever done together, and that statement is this: well, that's what they make caulk for, right? The finished and complete product that God wants to make you and I into through being rooted in his word is not a half-finished work. Right now, I had a conversation with my brother-in-law yesterday. His middle son is at UNC Wilmington. And when Wendy and I saw him last, he was having a little bit of car trouble. Now the car trouble seems to be increasing. The noises are getting a lot more fun and creative. The number of times it starts, it's more like a game show that he's playing. Will it start? Will it not? And he's got one simple goal. I talked to my brother-in-law yesterday. He said, I got one simple goal. He said, I need that car to make it back to my house at Christmas break. If it just does that, we can fix it all. How many times would we describe life that way? Well, God, if I can just make it through this, then like I'll figure out what's next. Well, that doesn't seem to match up with this idea of being rooted in God's word, completing us and making us look perfectly finished. That doesn't say, okay, well, your life must have to be perfect then. You must have all the money you need and all the friends you need and all the job you need and all the everything you need. It doesn't say that. Because let's think of it this way. Would a life not look pretty complete and fit together if somebody was at genuine peace in the middle of chaos? And if God's word brought that out in us, wouldn't that look like a completed life? The next word here is equipped. Equipped. It means completely furnished and completely supplied. Really cool thing about the Greek language, they didn't just prioritize things right. They also had this thing, and I've mentioned it before, if you've ever heard of it, it's called the perfect tense. Basically, they would put endings on words, and if you've studied foreign languages, you know that this is kind of how you approach language. But they had this thing called the perfect tense, which meant this. They could say a word, and if it was in the perfect tense, then by just saying it in that tense, it would mean that it was not just true now, that it had been true, and then it would forever be true. So in other words, in this situation, they put this word in Scripture. It was inspired by God to be put in the perfect tense. So equipped meant that we as Christians, rooted in God's word, would be completely supplied now and forevermore with everything that we need if we root ourselves in it. Think of it like this. Completely furnished. Think about looking into a room that's not half done, not 99% done, but perfectly done, perfectly designed, perfectly functional. Everything is hung exactly right. Nothing could be added to make it more perfect, and if you change one thing, it will become less perfect. That's you and me when it comes to being rooted in God's Word. we can literally, we talked about being built up, we can be built up to that point. Because why? It is the very breath of God breathed out across from heaven into our lives. It also says that this happens for every good work. That "for" there means to be aimed at, to be pointed towards something. Think of it like shooting a gun, firing something. You have no chance of hitting a target you aren't aiming at, typically, right? God's Word doesn't just complete us and equip us, it aims us at the work that God wants us to do. If there's a conversation that you need to have, God wants you to have, that He wants to complete you and equip you and have you ready, and He wants to aim you directly for it. If there's a new ministry He wants you to start or be part of, or there's just a truth that He wants you to grow in, whatever it is, He wants to heal hurt, and He wants to do that between you and somebody else, then He wants to complete you, and He wants to complete me, and He wants to aim us towards it. But like any gun, like any firearm, like anything, any bow and arrow, anything like that, it can be aimed, but then it has to be shot. It has to be fired. God's Word is all about completing us and equipping us and aiming us. But that's when God calls us to then do something. Then our part comes in. We have to pull the trigger. We have to fire out from us all that God has put into us. Now, I don't know about you. I don't hunt. I don't do anything like that. Not because I'm against it. I'm just against getting up early. That's what I'm against, okay? Just in life, all right? Guy in the church the other day, Ken, asked me, he said, "You think your son would enjoy hunting?" I don't know. Never been. He's like, "Well, he's never been." I said, "No, I've never been. I don't know what hunting's like. I don't have a basis of knowledge on that, right? Like, I know what camo looks like. Even bought some one time. Thought it looked fantastic in it. That's as far as I went with it, right? That's where mine and hunting's relationship ended. But one thing I am good at shooting is a water balloon launcher. Spent years in children's and youth ministry. And when I say good, I mean good. I mean, you might be able to hit a deer with a high-powered rifle, but I could take a hair off its nose with a water balloon from 100 yards away. I'm like David and Goliath with a water balloon launcher. In fact, my two most proud shots, one of which I had a guy in my youth group, I had a broken ankle. I had broke it on a missions trip. I was writhing in pain. I was on a lot of medication just trying to ease the pain. And he said this statement to me, "Bet you can't hit me with an Oreo from a water balloon launcher." Oh, yes, I can. Somewhere in existence, there's still the video to prove it. He made the mistake of choosing the spot, and I hit it, right? It was right here, by the way. I was at a camp one time. It's a kids' camp we still take our camps to, and we had a teenager volunteering at the camp. And he just thought he was going to be funny all week, and he was just trying to play different jokes and stuff like that on us. The kids were off in breakout sessions, and there were some teenagers that were up at the pool. It was a pretty good distance from about where the gym is to the pool. And we saw them out there goofing. I said, "You know what would be a big surprise?" He said, "What?" I said, "Getting hit with a water balloon from here." Kid was at the top of a water slide, and he started sliding down, and I hit him in motion. Pow! He went sideways when he went in the water. Fantastic shot. I'm proud of those two shots to this day. If those two guys have scars, it's just like mine. They grew from them, right? They learned lessons. So here's the thing, though. We can aim at a lot of things, but we prove nothing, we show nothing if we don't fire. As much as God has breathed His Word out in us, as much as it is His very breath and His presence in us, as much as we can be complete, we can be fully equipped, we can be aimed right, then God in all His wisdom gives us the opportunity to go deeper, to use His Word with someone, with ourselves, to grow in it some way. Because if God's Word was going to just snatch us up by the ear and drag us into it, it would have already done it by now. He's given us all the reasons. If God was going to correct us by just dragging our face down and saying, "Read this," then surely He would have already done it. If He was just going to throw this on top of us and say, "Learn the lesson I'm throwing at you," we would have already learned it. I want to use an example of this. This is not going to be on the screen, but in Matthew chapter 4, I want to read a verse to you. Jesus was in the wilderness. He was hungry. He was being tempted by Satan. Satan's really trying to make his case to get Jesus to give in because he knows that this is somehow a messenger from God. Satan's still trying to figure all this out. And Jesus perfectly responds to him like this. He's hungry, but he knows if he creates food or he does something, then it will not be in trust of what God's doing. Jesus answers Satan this way. He said, he answered, it is written. In other words, this is God's word that I'm putting out here to you, Satan. He said, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, many of us would use that and we would say, hey, that's good. God's word is important. In fact, it might be more important than our physical needs. As hungry as I get, I may need God's word more than that. And then we stop. But that's not what Jesus was doing. See, Jesus was using it in a Psalms 119 way, saying, hey, look, I have got God's word in me so that I will not sin against him. See, when Jesus pulled this back, I want to dig a little bit deeper. If you've got a study Bible, it probably references that Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. So I want to read that, okay? This is Deuteronomy 8 in verse 3. It says this, he humbled you by letting you go hungry. Then he gave you manna to eat, which you and your fathers had known, so that you might learn that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's what Jesus was quoting. Why is that so significant? Because Jesus was hungry by himself in the wilderness. He knew from God's word there was another time when God's people were lonely and hungry and desperate in the wilderness. And it says this, it says that God let them be hungry. That sounds odd of God to let them be hungry. What was God up to? What was he doing? He was letting them experience a need so that when he started providing, they would be able to fully know that they could depend on him from everything. So that everything that came from God would be what they needed. In other words, this, when people experienced hunger, and then God met that need, then they would be leaning in the next time God spoke instruction about what they needed to do next. That's what we mean by realizing that God's word and treating it, because it is the breath of God, but treating it as the breath of God. To say, God, what are you speaking into me? What are you saying? What is this truth that is coming out of you? How can I be more rooted into it? Yes, I understand what Matthew 4:4 says. Yes, God's word is important, but that's not all that it says. It is Jesus saying that I know that the truth that God has given me is so vital to my existence. And I know that out of the need that he's allowed me to experience. So I can read that and I go, okay, God, I understand this. Your breath of life is breathing into me and saying that the need that I experience, the thing that I feel like I am lacking, you may be allowing me to experience that so I can trust you more and I can know when you provide that you are faithful. That's what it means to be rooted in his word. That's what it means to understand and go after it like it is the very, because it is, breath of God breathed out. That's also what it means to go, I can't possibly go the right direction if this word doesn't aim me. I can't hit the target that is really meant for me to hit in life unless I am directed by this. And I have become complete. And I'm in that process of equipping and I'll be ready for what God aims me for. He won't aim me before I'm ready. You notice it says that complete, equipped, then aim. God knows what he's doing. He's not trying to aim me for something that I could never hit. We struggle with waiting. Sometimes it's in the waiting that the equipping and the completion is going on. You know, the thing and the truth about God's word is this. He's not going to force us into it. He's not. A tree isn't forced to grow. Its roots go out. And its roots anchor in. And its roots pull resources. The reason why we're doing Rooted in God's Word this week is we want to start a process this week together. And this is going home today. And there's a few extra of these if you didn't get a bulletin or anything. There's a few extra at the door when you leave. But this is just almost like a conversation starter. There's no way on two sides that you could put an exhaustive anything about God's word in it. This is to start us off this week. This card has got some questions that we should consider when we go into God's word. It's got some thoughts that we should mull over in our head. It's got some thoughts that we should train our mind with on how to see God's Word. I would encourage you to read this week. And throughout this week, we're going to be putting some more things out online and on social media that just follow this to be an encouragement into God's Word, what it means to be anchored into it. This is really aimed at, again, not the community dive into God's Word, but the individual dive in, to God's Word. Because all of us as individuals have a responsibility, if we say that we're Christians, with the very Word, the very breath of God that He's poured out for us. So I would encourage you to take this and begin to read it and see what God starts doing. And if you've got an experience in your life that you've had that God-breathed moment from Scripture, He's shown you something, He's worked something in your life, I'd love to hear that story. I'd love to hear how God's worked in your life through it. My email's on the bulletin every week. It's on the website. I'd love for you to email me. If it's something that we could share out through the church and you're fine with that, then we'll have that conversation. If it's something that you would never want shared, but just something you want to share personally, would love to read that and love to celebrate what God's done in your life with you. But I want you to think about this as you leave. The whole purpose of Scripture, as that verse says in Deuteronomy, the real point of that story was not that God's people were hungry. The real point of that story is that God provides. And if you or I have formed the habit of approaching God's Word, trying to root ourselves in it, to find ourselves, like do we dive into God's Word to find ourselves? No. We dive into God's Word to find God. His Word is not about us. His Word redeems us. It's God working on our behalf, His great love and grace. But His Word is about Him. And if being rooted in God's Word is not, God, give me the verse that I need right now, that's just the beginning step. As we grow deeper in His Word, we understand more about who He is. And the reflection of Him will show us plenty about ourselves. Think about it. Just think through in your mind, what's your greatest need? I can promise you in God's Word, He speaks to your greatest need, your greatest hurt, your greatest whatever. But part of the way that He speaks to that is showing you who He is and what He can do with that. Because if He does it in us, then He can do it in someone else. And that's just a reminder that it's not all about us. Will you bow your heads for just a second with your eyes closed, just so that you can listen and just hear what God is saying? God's Word is so great. It is the very breath of God breathed out. When you've had those moments where you have read His Word and you've experienced His Word, then you know that it is so personal when it comes to you that just the very warmth from what He's saying just hits you in the face to realize that He's so close as He talks to you. See, life happens in layers. The very beginning layer, the very first layer, is when we just are born. We're physical beings. And somewhere in that physical existence, we realize that we have this thing called sin. And that sin keeps us from God. And when that sin keeps us from God, then all of a sudden we hear through the very breathing of God and His own story that He did something about that sin. He sent His own Son to die for it because the penalty for sin has always been death. And that next layer of life that we can enter into if we confess Christ as Lord, if we believe in Jesus, the Bible just refers to it as new life. It's this saved life. And many of us make the mistake because we have found ourselves there, and then when we look out beyond that, we see what Dale read out of Revelation about. We see eternal life, and we think, okay, well, there's the saved life, and then there's this life that I'll eventually get to in eternity. And what we look over is this middle layer of life that God is calling us to, and it is this thing called the Spirit-filled life. This life that we can live rooted in Jesus, growing visibly to others and obvious to ourselves. It's this life where we can be rooted in His Word. Not having to depend on our own discipline to say, oh God, yeah, today I'm feeling good, so teach me something. or I feel so great that God, I can kind of withstand a correcting or two, so maybe correct something in me now, but let's not get too deep. It doesn't depend on our own discipline. The reason why we go into Scripture is because we love God. And we have realized that His very breath, His words, are coming to us. And that He's doing a work in us. Forget whether you're being taught or corrected. You're being completed. You're being equipped, supplied. You're being aimed. And then there's that quiet, still moment where God has done all that. And then we decide, what do I do now? What do you want me to do, God? What's next? For many of us, that's where we are. What's next, God? Figuring that out is going to take being rooted in the Word. For some of us in the room, maybe you say, you know what, this payment that Jesus made, I still feel like I'm on this basic level of life, this physical existence, and no more. Then I'd love for you during this time that we worship to come up front and let us talk about what it means to go to another level of life, a Spirit-filled life, a saved life, an eternal life. But in this moment, while the song is being sung, again, this time is not for you. It's not for the song to be sung by you or by me. This is a time for us just to pay attention to the voice of God. If we sing while we do that, then wonderful. But God, what are you saying right now? How can we obey you right now? How can we grow in you more deeply right now? If you need more resources and how to get into God's Word, if there's things you don't understand, we want to have a lot of those conversations over the next few weeks. Because you are God's most valuable asset. And He's prepared a lot for you. God, thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. God, thank you that we can know you, and we can know you through a specific word. And God, thank you that you shine your light on parts of that word to illuminate what we need to hear. So God, this morning, it happens every Sunday. We read your word, we go over your word, and for many of us in the room, different things are illuminated in our life. So God, help us to just trust your work right now and what you're doing. God, my prayer is for all of us that we would be more deeply consumed with who you are, with the very breath that you breathe out from your knowledge and understanding towards us. But God, I can only really fully be accountable for myself. So God, when you know that I've given up because I don't feel like getting corrected again, or I don't have the strength and the energy to just learn one more lesson, God, I pray that this week in my heart, you allow me to be more consumed with my love for you and my relationship with you. That the covenant that you offered me, I will be so deep in my thoughts, in my heart, that disobedience just doesn't make sense. That the time that I can spend with you is more important than so many other things. That if you need to correct me, I trust you that it's something I need to hear. If there's something I need to learn, God, help me know that it's for this completion and it's for this equipping and for this aiming. But God, more than anything, help us to be so aware that this isn't just a book that we buy at Lifeway. This isn't just an app that we have on our phone. Every time you breathe, God, there's life that comes with that. There's a resurrecting power that comes with that. There's a healing that comes with that. And that is your very word that you've preserved. And to dig deep into it means we know you more and we do better. Lord, as we worship you now, help us to be obedient where we pray in our seats. We come forward to pray. God, if there's anyone here that needs to begin a relationship with you, Lord, let the boldness of their heart be so real that they step forward so we can talk about that this morning. But God, we want to know you more. We've worshiped you out of truth from your word today. So help the truth of your word echo in our hearts while we worship you again now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand up and worship? The altar will be open during this time.